Scripture reading is from Acts chapter 16, verse 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We therefore set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the woman who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she prevailed upon us.
Now, offer us scripture for today. It comes to us from the book of Revelation. First, we offer chapter 21, verse 10, reading from the New Revised Standard Translation. It reads, "And in the Spirit, he carried me away to a great high mountain and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." And then chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, bright as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Through the middle of the street of the city, on either side of the river, is the tree of life, with its 12 kinds of fruit, producing its fruit each month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. Nothing accursed will be found there anymore, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads, and there will be no more night. They need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." Here ends our reading, the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I'd like a few moments on the topic, a vision of peace, a vision of peace. Let us pray. Oh God, open our hearts that we might receive you. Open our ears that we might hear from you. Open our minds that we might understand what you have for us. That the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. A vision of peace. The Apostle Paul, in our earlier scripture, had a dream. A vision in which a man solicited his help in Macedonia. Paulus in Troas, a Greek city and port on the Aegean Sea near the northern tip of Turkey. Paul was a Jew with Roman citizenship, and he encounters in Macedonia a Gentile woman named Lydia who dealt in purple cloth. When you read the Bible, there are always these undertones that you don't always grasp when you first see them. But a woman in those days, here's a woman who is very self-sufficient. She's apparently a single head of household who dealt in purple cloth, which meant she provided cloth to those who are wealthy, of rich folks. In other words, she was what we would say today, well connected with the powers that be. Her means of earning a living was that sign that she was well connected, and according to the scripture, she was out by the water on the Sabbath. One might wonder why, as we're told that she's a worshiper of God. Well, part of that is because she would not have been part of the synagogue because she was a Gentile. And there were not enough men to have a worship service. And that tradition, some of you may know, the word in English is a quorum. You have to have a quorum to have a meeting. For that tradition, the Jewish tradition, that you had to have a minyan. And a minyan consisted of 10 men. Women didn't count. And being men, if you were over the age of 13, that you qualified to hold a religious service. Paul's described as a rabbi, and he engages her with the good news of Jesus Christ. And she agrees to have her and her family being baptized. It's another clue from the scripture that she was single, probably a widow. But she listens to the message from the Apostle Paul and agrees to have her family baptized. My Bible, through Luke, gives us a story of a historic interaction across lines of race. He's Jewish, she's a Gentile. Class, they are both from different streams of class. He coming from the Roman side, her being part of Turkey. And gender. He's male, she's female. And quite frankly, under the societal norms, normally they would not interact. But we have, with the love of God, ways in which we should be able to interact across lines of race, class, and gender. And so, what the Bible gives us is an introduction to one of these lines across race, class, and gender. We are in a time now, as was mentioned, and some of you may know what happened in Buffalo, where a young man goes into the top supermarket basically to kill people who look like me. Some of you may not know, I know at least one who does, that I'm from Buffalo. That the neighborhood where that happened is the neighborhood that I grew up in. That one of my mother's best friends, who has just passed away, lived right around the corner from where that happened. And her son, who was one of my best friends growing up, who was also deceased, was a veteran of Vietnam. He was a veteran of Vietnam who we heard about the gentleman who was, suffered from Agent Orange, and I've had friends who suffered from Agent Orange, but my friend, his name was Ronnie, was a veteran who suffered from what we now know as PTSD. And so he passed away. We're approaching a time next week, Memorial Day, in which we celebrate those who have given their lives in search of peace. And for those of us who understand what that cost may be, many of us cringe when an event happens, as happened in Buffalo. I come from a family of folks who served in the cause of peace. My father's father served in World War I. My mother's biological father served in World War I. My mother's stepfather served in World War I. My father served in World War II. My mother's had two half-brothers who served, and one is buried in France. Served in World War II. My father had five brothers who served from World War II through Korea. He had two brothers who were career Air Force. They served in Vietnam. All in search of peace. All with a vision that their service would make a difference in peace in the world. And we are yet working to bring that vision of peace. Many times we wonder why people get angry. People are angry because they feel that others are taking away jobs that might have been theirs. And for those of you, I see that there are some who are older, but I've been in Rochester for 53 years. 53 years. And when I came to Rochester, yes, there was Kodak and there was Xerox, but they weren't the only employers. Some of you may remember, because the factory wasn't too far from here, Ragu spaghetti sauce was made in Rochester. No longer. There's a shortage of baby food. And if you went on the west side of Rochester on Mount Hope and Buffalo Road, there was a big water tower in the shape of a Gerber baby bottle, jar. Gerber baby food was made here in Rochester. Now we are shipping baby food from overseas. Baal Shalom was created here, and their headquarters was here. There are so many companies that were headquartered here that are no longer. Some of you may remember French's Mustard. Mustard Street is still here, right off East Main Street, but it's French's is no longer making mustard here. They're part of a conglomerate. Some of you may remember that Allstate Insurance not only had their corporate headquarters here, but also had a larger workforce that was based in Parenton, not far from here. When we consider some of the changes in our society, many of us don't think about what has happened over the long term. I graduated from the University of Buffalo, and I worked full time while I was at the University of Buffalo because I had a wife. I worked at Bethlehem Steel. We made steel. Bethlehem no longer makes steel. They've been out of business in this country since the 70s. I loaded 100-pound bags of flour. My body was the reverse of what it is now. But I loaded 100-pound bags of flour off of a packing machine that took it out of a silo and loaded it 8 feet high into a rail car. That was the Pillsbury Company in Buffalo, had the largest flour mill in the world. It's no longer there. It burned in the 70s. And when they rebuilt it in the Midwest because they wanted to be closer to wheat. However, I'm sure you've heard that much of our wheat is imported from the Ukraine. And we know that they are dying for a vision of peace in Ukraine. I worked for Carborundum in Niagara Falls, and many of you may have passed what used to be part of the Carborundum Company when you're headed to see the beauty of the falls. For those of you who are or have been carpenters or done or thought you were carpenters, or if you were like me, what you tried to put together didn't always come out straight. But Carborundum was synonymous with sandpaper. And now if you go down Buffalo Road in Niagara Falls, there are remnants of what used to be a place that supplied numerous jobs. Many times we have people who are angry because of the loss of jobs, but they don't understand that there are forces larger than the people that they see around them. And so many, as the young man did in Buffalo, become angry and full of hatred because they know what they've been told, that those jobs that aren't here were stolen from him. And many say that it's because of people who look like me. But there is a vision of peace There is the vision that John the Revelator talks about the angel who gives a vision of that new Jerusalem coming down. That vision in which he sees not only a peaceful land, but a land rich with the offerings of the earth, a land rich with bright sunshine rather than gloomy days, a land rich because of what God has planned for us, a vision of peace. As I mentioned, I had family who served in World War II. And we know of the horrors of the people who were killed then. And some of you may have known of a Lutheran pastor named Martin Niemöller, who did what many pastors did not do then. He spoke out against the violence. And he wrote this poem, which has been replicated, and for over 20 years I used to carry that around in my portfolio. But it reads, "The first they came for the communists, and I didn't speak out because I wasn't a communist. Then they came for the socialists, and I didn't speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists. I didn't speak out. Then they came for the Jews. I was not a Jew. I did not speak out. And then they came for me. And there was no one left to speak out for me." The message that we had for the children is also a message for us, that if we are going to have a land of peace, we need to speak out when there is injustice. Because in World War II, they didn't just kill the Jews. They killed those who were disabled, both physically and mentally. They killed those who looked like me. They killed those who were gay. They killed those who they just didn't like. And so, I can remember that, and I have friends and neighbors who are Jewish. They talk about how there was a resounding after the victory of the war, "Never again. Never again. Never again." And And then we have a situation like we saw in Buffalo or in Charleston, North Carolina, at the Emmanuel Church, where people were praying in church as we do here. And so, I offer what the writer of the book of Hebrews says: we are all people of faith. And the writer describes faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If our faith tells us that we desire and have been promised a vision of peace, what our faith requires of us is to speak when we see injustice, to speak with the hope that our words will give us not just a vision of peace, but a step towards peace in this world. And so I implore you, and I hold the mirror up to myself, that to bring a vision of peace, we must speak out. We must speak out. Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King had a vision of peace. He said the words, "I've been to the mountaintop, I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but our hope is that we, as a people, all of us, will get to that promised vision of peace." Amen.